Okay, welcome to Parsha Shavua. This week's Parsha is Parsha Kisisa. So we're going to do something on Purim today because it's the days leading up to Purim. So I'm going to share two ideas. The first idea actually has a connection to this week's Parsha. This week's Parsha is Parsha's Kisisa, which has in it the mitzvah of Machtzis HaShekel, right? The half a shekel. So let's go to the Megillah. Again, if you have an article Chumash, it's 1255. And the very, very first paragraph, Pasuk Ches, Pasuk 8. It's where the. You have it 1255 there, Hannah? I think it's next. So I said like this: Vayomer Haman al Melech Achashverosh. Haman said to the king Achashverosh, Yeshnoi Am Echod, there's one nation, Mefuzor Mefore Beno Amim. They scattered among all the nations. All the provinces of your kingdom, the their laws are different to all other nations. The laws of the king they don't do. But it's not worth for the king to leave them to exist. Therefore, if the king finds this okay, there should be inscribed a decree to destroy them. Kesef, 10,000 coins of silver. Eshkol, I will pay in the hands of those that perform the people to the Elginze Hamelach, to the treasury of the king, right? Ginze Amalach, the treasury of the king, I'm going to pay 10,000 silver coins. Good. So there's a Medrash. Gemara, actually. The Gemara in Megillah says the following. Reish Lakish says, Golu v'yadua, it was known to Hashem, was revealed before Hashem, that Haman is going to be a Haman. And Haman is going to want to pay many, many thousands of shkolim to the king to destroy the Jewish people. Yeah. Therefore, what Hashem did was he gave us a mitzvah of machtzis ha-shekel, so that our shekels should come before the shekels of Haman. Right? Beautiful idea. That's why we find the interesting thing. When the Beis Hamikdash was around, there was a mitzvah of half a shekel, right? When did they give the half a shekel? So the idea halachically was like this. That half a shekels were given to create a fund to buy animals for the new sacrifices. Every year they used to have a fund to buy the animals for the korbanos. And the way it worked was that from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, from the first of Nisan, they had to buy korbanos from the new money, the new thing, right? So therefore, the machzor shekel had to be given before Nisan. So it says in the Mishnah, be'echad be'adar, on the first of Adar, they would send out messages that that's time the half a shekel, the tax, the yearly tax of half a shekel is due. Okay. But the deeper idea here is that on the first of Adar, coming up to Purim, because it happens the same way, right? They would announce that the shekel has to be given. In other words, what that really means is that during Adar, we remember the mitzvah of Machtzis HaShekel, because that's the mitzvah which Hashem gave us to counteract the shekel of Haman. Okay. So what's the idea? Two ideas behind this. First of all, it's brought down in Mefarshim like this, that Esav, Haman came from Esav, right? From Molech came from Esav. Esav was given two brachas, two blessings by Yitzchak. One was, Al charbu chaticha, you will live by the sword. And also, your da'im yidei Esav. It says your the hands are the hands of Esav, right? In other words, what you do through your hands, the sword and the work of Esav. Now, the Yidden had to sort of fix this. So there were two things that happened when the Yidden came out of Mitzrayim. One was that they fought against Amalek. Lefichorev, they fought. But Amalek attacked the Yidden when they came out of Mitzrayim, and it says they fought them lefichorev, according to the sword. In other words, they went against the sword of Esav. And also, what happened by the war of Amalek was Moshe Rabbeinu went up on the mountain and he held up his hands, right? And when the Yidden looked at the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu, They were able to win the war. What was the idea of that? They were weakening. Moshe Rabbeinu's hands were weakening the hands of Esav. Hadayim yidei Esav. He says similar thing when it comes to Haman, right? Haman, it says like this: Haman, he wanted to kill the Jewish people. That's the idea of killing him. That's the idea of the sword. And he also wanted to give money, which is the idea of the hands of Esav, the work of Esav, the work of Haman. He wanted to give money. So to counteract those two things, Hashem gave us two mitzvahs. One of the Mefarshim explains, give us two mitzvahs. What's the two mitzvahs? The mitzvahs is that in the Beis Hamikdash, before Haman came along, they used to chop wood with a chopper for the karbonis. That was like counteracting the hands of Esav, because chopping wood with a metal thing is really an Esav idea, but you're doing it for a mitzvah, so you're counteracting that. And then they also had the mitzvah of machtzis shekel to an antidote to the shekels that Haman was going to offer to pay Ahasuerus. Okay, that's the one idea. But in one of the commentaries called Bina So'itim, Le'itim explains like this. He says it's more than that. It's specifically the mitzvah of machtzis shekel. Why? We know that one of the ideas that Haman had, he came to Ahasuerus, right? He knew like this. When it comes to Ahasuerus and he says he wants to destroy the Jewish people, Ahasuerus is going to say, "You're crazy. We can't start up with the Jewish people. They're protected by Hashem. They're like, this is like a protected nation. He's starting up with them. People start up with them, lose at the end, right?" I mean, Ahasuerus maybe knew that, and people haven't known that. I mean, it's always going to be that way. And then he says like this. So Haman had to sort of prove to Ahasuerus that it's okay, that the Yidden are vulnerable, the Yidden are weak. Why are they weak? So he said two things. He said, "Yeshnoi am echad." There's a nation. Yesh, there is a nation, right? In Hebrew, how do you say there is a nation? You say "Yesh am echad." What's this "Yeshnoi"? It's a funny word, "Yeshnoi." So the Medrash says that he was hinting to Ahasuerus the following. He says, "Yeshnoi" comes the same word as "Yashnu." They fell asleep. "Yashnu min ha-mitzvahs." He says, "The Yidden, you don't have to worry about them. They're not keeping the mitzvahs anymore. They've gone to sleep for the mitzvahs, right?" Yashnu. Yashnu min ha-mitzvahs. They're sleeping for the mitzvahs. The second thing he said was, "Mefuzar u'mefoirad bein ha-amim." There's a nation that's scattered among all the nations. What do you mean to say? He said, they're not united. They're divided. Yes, they're scattered. Mefuzar. Right? Mefuzar. And we know that the power of Yidden is when they're together. As we say in the Amidah, we say, "Barchenu avinu kolanu ke'echad." Hashem bench us all as one. The simple pshat is Hashem bench us all together. But the Mefarshim explained, no, "Barchenu avinu," bench us Hashem. When does the bracha of Hashem take place? Kulanu ke'echad, when we're all like one. Right? That's what Haman came and said. So what do we do? So we have the mitzvah of machzah shekel. The whole idea of machzah shekel is that we only give half. One of the laws, one of the halachas of machzah shekel was that ha'oshir lo yarbe v'hadal lo yamid. He's coming. He just went to the. He's coming. Right? That the rich man can't give more and the poor man can't give less. Everyone has to give exactly a half. What's the idea? Number one idea is everyone has to give the same. And also, everyone, that same that everyone has to give means they have to give a half dafka. What's the idea of a half? That everyone knows that they're only a half. That you need someone else. You need to be united with someone else. So the Machzis HaShekel mitzvah really is a mitzvah of unity. It's a mitzvah of oneness. A mitzvah we know that on our own, we're only half. With other people, we're whole. Right? So that's the depth of this idea that Hashem gave the mitzvah of Machzis HaShekel to counteract what Haman was doing. Haman gave 10,000 shekel, 10,000 silver coins to the king because he says, "I can kill the Jewish people. Why can I kill them? Because Yoshnu and mitzvah, they're not doing mitzvahs. And more importantly, Mefuzar u'mefoir. They are scattered among the Jews. They're scattered among the nations. They're not united." So Hashem gave the mitzvah of Machzis HaShekel beforehand to know, you didn't always know that they're united. They're always one. They only give half. Each one gives a half each year to show that they're only a half. You need the other person to become one. Do we always act that way? No, but it means we intrinsically we know that, right? We know that when we like family, like one family. We fight like family. We are united like family. Same thing, right? But we're intrinsically one. That's why it's like the Chazal tell us that sometimes Hashem is maktim refuah lemakom. He brings the medicine before the disease, right? Instead of with regard to Esther, Esther became the queen before Haman came on the scene. Hashem had already planted Esther is going to save the Jewish people before Haman came along, even with the Gezerah, right? But over here we can say the same thing. Hashem gave us the mitzvah Machzas HaShekel before Haman came along with his 10,000 coins, because Hashem wanted to remind us to be one. How do you remind us to be one? Through the mitzvah Machzas HaShekel, which is the idea of half a shekel, that we're only half and not one. That's one idea. Second idea. Just an interesting thought about Purim. So the Gemara says at the end of the Megillah, let's see if we can find it. One second, if we can find it quickly, we'll do it. It says Kimu v'kiblu ha'yehudim. Let's see. One second, where is it? Where's one second? Yeah, have a look at page 1261. Right, and you have a look at Pasuk Chav Gimel 23. It says, "The Kibel HaYehudim." The Jews accepted. Eis asher echelu lasa is what they had begun to do. Okay. Literally referring to the thing of Purim. But then, if you have a look a little bit later on Pasuk Chof Zayin 27, it says, Kimu v'kiblu ha'yehudim. The Jews confirmed and undertook. Kimu v'kiblu. Confirmed what and undertook. The mitzvahs of Purim. But Chazal say in the Gemara that actually what it means, Kimu, they confirmed what they had already accepted. Right? What does that mean? So it goes back to a Gemara in Shabbos. The one in Shabbos says that it says in the Torah when the Yidden came to Har Sinai, they stood betachtis ha'har. They stood at the foot of the mountain. But the word tachtis can also mean underneath the mountain. So the Gemara says in Shabbos a very interesting thing. The Gemara says, that kimu that kofa aleim that Hashem held the mountain over the Jewish people and said, if you can accept the Torah, good. If not, I'm dropping the mountain. Right? So we did. We accepted the Torah. So the Gemara says a fascinating thing. The Gemara says what that actually means. Therefore, is that for a long time, the Yidden had kind of a waiver, that kind of an excuse for not keeping the Torah. Right? If they would ever be challenged, why don't you keep the mitzvahs? Why don't you keep the Torah? There could be consequences, could be punishments, chas v'sholom, whatever the case is. The Yidden could always say, one second, hold on a second. There was coercion. We were forced into it, right? So until Purim came along, Purim, that's okay. When Purim came along, the Gemara says, Hodar ki buluha bimei Achashverosh. The Yidden re-received the Torah in the days of Ahasuerus. Why? Because it says in the Pasuk, we just had a look at, Kimu v'kiblu. They confirmed what they had already accepted. Right? In other words, when it came, Rashi says, Me'avas ha'nes, love of the miracle. In other words, when Purim came along and they were saved, the Yidden were so excited about it that actually on their own choice, they weren't forced, they weren't directed, they weren't coerced. And by their own choice, they re-accepted the Torah. Kimu v'kiblu. They confirmed what they had already accepted at Har Sinai. But this time they confirmed it willingly. Is that different? Okay. Which is a big deal. That's a big deal. Now, there's of course a deeper pshat in the Gemara. It doesn't mean they were forced. One idea behind this is that in Kabbalah and in Hasidus, it says that a mountain is a symbol of love. What it means that we were forced to receive it at Har Sinai doesn't mean we're actually forced. It means that Hashem showed such love to the Jewish people, revealed himself in such an unbelievable way that it was like irresistible. You couldn't say no. Like, it's obvious, right? Problem is, that's not good enough because it's still not us. In other words, it's like a sort of forced. We were just swept off our feet. In other words, we had to choose Hashem because didn't have any other choice, right? Because Hashem was so loving to us and he showed such an amazing revelation to us. So obviously we said yes. Purim, of course, is different. Purim, the Yidden really accepted the Torah on their own choice, by their own choice, because there was no revelation. Purim was a dark time. Purim was a time of Golus. It was a time they were under the rule of Ahasuerus. Even after the miracle, they were still subjects of Ahasuerus. Even the miracle itself, we know, was fairly natural. If you look at the story of Purim, you don't see the greatness of the miracle unless you analyze it properly, right? But just the story itself, there was no sea split, no plagues happened. It was just very, very normal. Of course, if you understand exactly how it happened, everything fell into place and the puzzle Mamash fell into place. Well, it's miraculous, but it's the Yad Hashem, of course. But on the surface, it's just a time of concealment. It's not a time Hashem was revealed at all, right? Even Hashem's name is not in the Megillah, as we know. But nevertheless, the Yidden still accepted the Torah again. This time, complete choice. Because Hashem wasn't showing them love. On the contrary, it was hidden. Okay, they were saved, but it was on there. It was by their own choice that they accepted the Torah willingly. So in a talk that the Lubavitcher Rebbe once gave on this, he asked the following question. He asked a beautiful question. He says, "It's such an amazing thing that the Yidden Mamash re-accepted the Torah, right? I mean, it's fascinating. So why don't we find on Purim some sort of minhag, mitzvah, something that we should do to commemorate the fact that the Yidden accepted the Torah again, right? It's an amazing thing. I mean, right? I'll give you an example of this. Part of the celebration of Yom Kippur, for example, part of the observance of Yom Kippur, because that was a time also like another aspect of Matan Torah, because on Yom Kippur, the Jews got the Torah for a second time. They got the second Luchos, second Ten Commandments, right? And that's part of the whole idea of Yom Kippur. Yet, when it comes to this Purim, okay, we celebrate the fact that we were saved, but we don't mark it in any ways that it was a day of another Matan Torah. It was like we mamash accepted Torah again. It's like an amazing thing, right? He says like this. He says a beautiful idea. He says that it doesn't need another mitzvah. It's actually embedded in the two, three mitzvahs of Megillah, Mishloach Manos, and Matanos Levi'im. Why? Because what's the difference between when a person does something if they have to, or they do something because they want to, right? When a person does something because they have to, they do it as much as they have to. They don't do more. They have to do it, they'll do it. They don't have to do it, they won't do it, right? You don't look to do it. You don't look to do more. You just do it because you have to. So you do it as much as you have to, and then you leave it. When a person does something when you really want to do it, when you love it, when you've chosen to do it, you don't just do as much as you have to. You do more. You want to do it. You love it. You look to do it. You find opportunities to do it, right? So like this, when we receive the Torah at our Sinai, it says we were forced. Okay, so it's possible if a person feels forced at Matan Torah, he knows Hashem is boss and he'll do all the mitzvahs, he'll learn Torah, but not necessarily he'll look to go out of his way to do a mitzvah. He'll do it because we have to, that's what we have to do, so we do it, right? What would be the sign? What would signify this idea that we learn by Purim? That the Yidden re-accepted the Torah themselves. This time they chose the Torah. How would you mark it? You would mark it in a way where you demonstrate that you're not just doing a mitzvah when you have to, you're doing a mitzvah because you want to, right? That would be like that's how you would mark such a thing. Which is exactly what we find by these three mitzvahs. Let's understand how it works. Yeah. Megillah, what do we mean? Megillah is one of the Sifrei Tanakh, right? It's not a new thing. Megillah is not a new thing. Meaning, reading the Torah is not a new thing. We do it every Shabbos. We do it every Monday and Thursday, right? When do we do it? We normally do it by daytime. That's how the mitzvah goes. We read even some people read even Megillahs from a klaf on Pesach, on Sukkot, Koheles, Shir HaShirim, Eicha, and so on. Suddenly, what comes on Purim? We add another mitzvah of Megillah. We have a new mitzvah. Not only do we do it by day, but later on they made it, you should even do it by night, something different. We never find this. You add to the reading of the Torah. Okay, Simchas Torah, there's a minhag, some people have that, but same idea, because there the minhag is something you want to do. But you don't find that you should read Torah at night. You don't do Torah at night. But Megillah you do, right? Mishloach Manos. What's Mishloach Manos? So many of the first explain Mishloach Manos is a mitzvah to show friendship. Every time you give Shloach Manos, it's a display of friendship, right? Now, friendship is not a new mitzvah. It's not a Purim mitzvah. Friendship is a mitzvah in the Torah of Ahavta Re'acha Kamocha, right? So it's a whole year round. Well, so what's the difference between the mitzvah of friendship a whole year round or the mitzvah on Purim? It's very simple. A whole year round, of course we have friendship, but when we need to. What do we do Purim? We fulfill the mitzvah of Ahavta Re'acha Kamocha by giving, showing friendship to others, not when the opportunity arises, but we look for the opportunity. We look for someone to give food to. Different thing, right? Same thing about Tonas Lav Yoinim. Tonas Yoinim, essentially, what is it? It's tzedakah. Tzedakah, that's what it is, right? Tzedakah is a mitzvah all year round. You can't, right? Every time a poor person asks you for something, you should give. That's the pasoyach tiftach, the Gemara says. The Torah says, right? You shouldn't hold back. When someone asks you for tzedakah, you have to give something. You have to give. You have to, because the mitzvah of tzedakah, right? But what's the difference between that and Matonas Lav Yoinim? It's the same thing. All year round, we give tzedakah. We give tzedakah, we have to give a certain amount, we give. Holy Ran, when someone asks us for tzedakah, we respond. But no one on Holy Ran goes to look for a poor person. Don't do that. Purim, you do. That's Matanas Lavyanim. Purim, the idea is you have to look for the poor person, right? So this idea that we have mitzvahs that are there the whole year round. The difference between Purim is that we look to do it more. We look for the opportunity. That in itself is exactly the remembrance of this idea that the Yidden accepted upon themselves willingly the Torah. Because when you look, when you accept upon you, when you choose the Torah, then you look for opportunities to do the Torah, to do the mitzvahs, right? It's different. And we show that on Purim, that this happened on Purim, by these mitzvahs that actually are mitzvahs the whole year round. Just on Purim, we do them because we love it, because we show that we want to do it, not because we have to do it, which is exactly symbolic of this idea that the Yidden accepted the Torah willingly on Purim, and therefore it's true that we actually do a remembrance for this idea that the Yidden re-accepted the Torah on Purim. It's about doing these three mitzvahs in a willing way, looking for the opportunity rather than waiting for when we have to do it. Okay, that's a Purim words. Everyone should have a Freilich on Purim. Only good things.